settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Avery.
Avery, and welcome to Spirits Work, the interactive metaphysical talk show with a difference. And what a great show we have lined up for you tonight.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery. For those listening for the first time, Sylvie and I are spirit mediums, and I'm a deep trance medium. Each week, live on the show, I channel a spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who is actually our resident expert on spirits work. We basically have discussions about life, the universe, and everything. As well as spirits work on bbsradio.com on Mondays at 9 p.m. PST and every Thursday at 2 p.m. PST, we also have another show called Spirit Teaching on Tuesdays at 11 p.m. EST. And if you would like to know more about us, our books, and our work, we suggest you go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com.
Tonight we're going to be doing something a little different, and it's going to be a special delight for us because we are honoured to have two special guests on the show. Don and Doug Newsom are the founders and owners of the wonderful BBS radio station that we are broadcasting from. And although we don't usually have guests, we happened to be chatting after a show a few weeks ago, and Don and Doug mentioned that they had lots of questions for Gregory. And so we said, okay, why don't we have a show to yourself? And they said, great, and so here we are.
As far as we're concerned, they are spiritual pioneers. They are doing such a great job for humanity, dedicated to planetary service and affecting our growth factor towards peace.
And apart from that, they are just all-round lovely guys. Welcome, Don and Doug.
Hi, guys.
Well, hello.
Hello.
Thank you so much for that kind introduction.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, Nick's going to actually go into trance now.
Okay.
We're not going to waste time chatting.
No, you don't want to talk to me anyway.
I'll just tell everybody basically we have no idea. I have no idea. Or Gregory doesn't have any idea either of what we're going to be talking about tonight. It's just questions that you've been compiling.
We never do have, actually, by the way. I am never part of, myself, I'm never part of this whole setup and the questions that Sylvie's putting or whatever. Nothing is fixed or whatever. It's all, just a straight live situation.
Mm.
Okay?
Yeah.
So just so as you know, there's no infiltration of my mind in this at all. Okay? Hi. Thank you.
Okay, then bye, mate. Yeah, what I was meaning was that we haven't got a typical topic that we're going to be talking about this week. It's going to be open forum for Don and Doug. I'd just like to tell people that Gregory is a spokesperson for a group of spirits of higher intelligence called the White Cloud Group. And they consist of eminent scientific minds of all description, which is why we have access to as much knowledge as hopefully as we need on these programs. And they've come to help us to understand the nature of our existence and hopefully point us in a more positive direction by helping us to think beyond the constraint of our human mind. Having said that, they don't just come to lecture us or talk down to us. They're responding to a need by those of us who are searching for answers but didn't know who to ask. They bring information that helps us to look at our world with a different perspective, as well as anything and everything beyond our world, and trying to help us to look at the bigger picture of life, if you like, and to think outside of the box, and hopefully to be of some service to us in explaining so far unexplainable situations that we have a right to know and that will help us along our way of life. And I do believe that Gregory is here now.
My dear friends.
Hi, Gregory.
Once again, it is with absolute love, as always, that we are here. We of the White Cloud Group. And I have to say, my dear friends, there are many thousands of individuals at this present time all listening tentatively to this situation, this conversation that we are to have this day. And it is, of course, a blessing to us all that we take part, that we share our vibration of love, our intention, and our sheer gratitude, my dears, for bringing this situation together to allow us this time, this forum of life, to express ourselves.
Well, Gregory, I'd like to introduce you to Don and Doug Newsom.
Well, thank you. It is an absolute pleasure again to be here and to be speaking with you, Gregory.
Thank you so, my friend, and likewise. We are all absolutely thrilled that we are able to have this good meeting with you both.
Thank you. Thank you, Colin.
Okay. So basically, I'll just hand it over to you guys. I should be here. And so whoever wants to go first, and just we'll just have a nice chat.
Well, thank you for being here, and I can't tell you how much this means to me. I really look forward to asking these questions and being able to speak with Spirit directly. I think you already know what that means to me, Gregory. It's pretty wonderful, actually, because being able to speak with the other side directly through a human entity is to me remarkable.
My dear friend, it is touching the core essence of your life. You are spirit, after all. You are really just reaching home.
I love the way you put that. It seems so distant having you speak to us. It seems just right around the corner. Thank you.
We are.
Well, that was one of my questions. Thank you for thank you for saying that. I actually, now there are many meanings to we are right around the corner, being right there, but one of my big questions was, let's say I'm communicating, or somebody is communicating with an entity from the across the veil. Let's just say not from our dimension. And that entity is communicating with this individual, whoever it may be. Do you, being one of those entities from the other side that we're communicating with, do you see us right now while we're communicating? Like, I'm talking to you right now. Now, I can't see you. But can you see me? And what do you see?
I am not seeing you as you are, my friend, in physical flesh.
Right.
I am looking at a calligraphy of what you are. That is, I am looking at your auric identity, which I can see most clearly. I can see the colors within it, the petrol colors that are within it. I can actually explain what colors are around your neck, and particularly around your throat, my friend. You have a tinge of blue around your throat at this very moment.
What does that mean?
It means, my dear friend, that actually you are very spiritually motivated.
Thank you.
You actually talk from the heart. You are an empath with the spirit world because you actually recognize your spirit nature. It is something which so many people deny themselves. And although I understand that you have been exploring your universe, the universal mind, if you will, it still remains that there are these situations of a puzzle to you. What is the etheric world, after all? How can it possibly be etheric as well as physical dimensional states that we can see elements of you that you cannot see yourself?
Right. It's interesting because earlier we had, I think it was a few days ago, there was a gentleman who basically said, you both of you are hitting a wall. I got it because there was, I understand what that means, and it feels inside that there is a wall that we've manifested that we can't break through. I want to know if there is any clarification on what that wall might be or how we would overcome it. I think it's more of may not doubt so much as substance, maybe?
No, my dear Fed. I have to say, now, many people will tell you that there is this wall between your physical state and your spirit, your upper house. There is not. The only wall that exists is your barrier to open your mind, to accept a totally different reality from that which you have designs upon or that have been explained to you as a specific. Do you understand, Faith?
Yes.
So what I am saying is that you actually have to step outside of the realm of physical identity. What you have to take on is exactly the same as I am looking at you, you see, because you are a physical structure, yet I do not see you as a physical structure. I can see some parts of you. I can observe various organs, in fact, at certain times, depending upon the well-being of that organ or whether it has a fluctuation tendency to it. I can tell you whether it is behaving as it should.
So you, in other words, you do have your, like Edgar Casey had, or other people may have, they can actually, spirit like yourself can see at any distance and can really pinpoint a specific energy and the auric field around it and then catalog that based on what their experience tells them, what their knowledge tells them as to what physical ailments or emotional ailments may be that that person has. But you, when you communicate with somebody, can immediately see that, can't you?
The point, well, yes. However, I am also very fortunate, my friend, because I actually work with thousands of other individuals.
Right.
I do not need to see everything myself.
Right.
I am not that clever. I, in fact, actually use the gifts of many other beings in the spiritual group, because that is why we are a group. There are many thousands of individuals who work within the group. There are scientists who work the mechanism of the voice and the transposition of our friend here from the physical state to keep him out of the way, basically, so we can use his physical body. There are also others who investigate other situations for us and on our behalf. For example, to do with healing and that kind of thing, to do with physical body structure and elements of well-being, there is Mr. Sinicha, who actually is a being who lived many hundreds of years ago on your side of life, who happens to be Chinese, and that he actually continues to work as he has always worked when he had a physical life. He was, in fact, a healer. He never accepted money, as I understand it, but people actually paid him in animals and grain. And the animals he simply used to let go. Because he didn't eat meat.
Interesting. And he's a part of your total presence.
Yes, quite so.
I had some experiences, and I always, you know, I've got so many important answers. I love this because I've got so many questions, all the questions that have been on my brain. But when I went through, I don't know what you'd call it, a moment there of brilliant light, an awakening, a kundalini. But when that occurred, about 60 days afterwards, I was actually communicating. And this sounds so funny, and I don't know. But there were entities all around me for like 3 days straight, and they didn't appear like human entities. Some had the kind of like a ghost outline. You could see it in 3D, and it was there in front of you, and it was human looking. But then I saw so many other different, diverse looking entities. Some would make a buzz like woo, 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 woo. Some would make a mosquito sound. I even had one communicate to my brother while I was on the phone with him. I want to know, was that all my imagination? Because they actually made the sound in the phone to my brother. My brother heard
it.
I asked them to do certain things to my brother while he was on the other end of the phone, and they did it, and he could feel it. These entities, they didn't, like, some would be almost out of a cartoon.
Yes, Finn, I understand. Of course. But is not same as you yourselves looking at something within the ocean of beings that you have never seen before? After all, what were your impressions of species before you ever went to a museum? What did you think of all of the other species that existed upon your planet? You could not have conjured up such a vast array of different species identity just from one planet.
Right.
And what you have to look upon, my friend, is that when you are opening up for the first time, and many people may not be aware of this, but when you are really, truly becoming awakened with your spirit, where it is that this actually takes place is in your soul group, because that is your safe harbor. That is the harbor of love and light, where you come from, and where all other beings, to do with the characterization of yourself, your vibration index, if you like, what makes you the person that you are, the behavior that you bring out, is not just to do with environment or to do with the way you were brought up. It is actually to do with your soul group and the vibration index of that place, if you will. And that actual identity and place is filled with many different beings, not all human. There are many different species who are of a like mind, who have become aware and enlightened, and perhaps others who are at different stages of their evolutionary process. It is all to do with the consciousness in relativity to where they are at that time. In the spirit world, there is, of course, very little obstruction to do with thought processes, which means that we can just merely send thoughts through the ether, and they are instantaneously received. In the physical world, it is more difficult until you become more aware or awakened, as you had just described. In which case, what happens is sometimes it can just all flood in all at once.
Yes.
It doesn't mean to say that they have never been there before, or that you have never been there before. You may well have visited this place many times during your sleep state. But what it means is that, unfortunately for you, or fortunately, however you look at it, at times when you receive this awakening, it can seem as though it is a mass implosion upon you, all of these different characters. Yet, at other times, it can just be that they communicate with you one at a time. You just feel them draw close to you, and then they move away.
So my imagination, if I went into another room and I kind of got into a bit of a meditative stance and I could see this image starting to take shape, and it was kind of a walking around me, but I was thinking to myself, is that your imagination? This couldn't be the case, but yet I realize this is my question, if I think it's real, or if I want it to be real and I'm envisioning in this, I guess to that degree it is real because it's in my brain.
Well, my dear friend,
I'm thinking about, so I'm giving it some sort of a reality. But does it have a reality outside the thought?
Of course it does, because now, I have to tell you, my dear friend, if you are conjuring something up, you are making something out of what your imagination identifies could be a form of being. Yet many of the beings you have already identified and seen were without your mind. They were not a part of your makeup or your realm of thinking. Your ability to bring that form together in imagination just did not exist.
Yeah, I now trust my imagination more, just one more question, though. These entities, I was just wondering, you know, as you were saying, for about a 3 or 4 month period, I was just totally enlightened. My mind went into thinking nonstop, all these things were occurring, and I kind of came down, which it was like a high, and then I came down from that high over months and months and months of being affected by it. But I guess what stopped me from really doing it any further, concentrating and meditating, is because everybody's been telling me, Doug, be afraid. If you go out there and you try to go up into that realm, there's going to be negative energy there waiting for you. And you know, that bothers bothered me because I never had a fear at that point until I was told I should have fear.
And that is the problem, my friend, that very often many people will tell you something which they fear themselves.
So there should be, really, there is no, for me, I want to believe that there's nothing that can harm me in that spiritual realm, no matter how far I go. It's like looking into a black hole and trying to get to the other end of it.
Yes.
You know, you got to just trust that you're going to be okay going through this process.
The point is, my friend, is that you have to say an invocation of peace and love. You have to say the words which describe what it is you wish to achieve, and with the protection that you want to receive for your well-being.
If you
do not do this, then you will attract negative energies. Even if you do this, you may still attract negative energies if there are those outside of your realm of existence who wish you harm for whatever reason. It is exactly the same, my friend, as if you had walked out into a park or somewhere in the natural world. Are you going to, in your thoughts, in every step that you take upon your walk, think about what the person around the next corner is going to be towards you, how they're going to resolve toward you? Are they going to have some kind of negativity toward you? Are they going to perhaps be abusive or even violent?
Yes.
Some people will bring these up as, and they will become as barriers to their contemplation.
So yes. Negative entities can evolve to a higher state of being where they're powerful on the spiritual side.
Of course.
Interesting.
Absolutely so, my friend. And in fact, many negative beings exist in the spirit world. And this is not to do with the ascension planes or whatever. I'm not interested in that aspect at all. I am talking about the spirit world, the ether world, which is where all beings who are non-physical exist. There are many who will be of a vibration and a negative intent, which is of such an extent they are able to have an effect upon physical life reality.
Amazing. Now,
at the same time, my friend, I do not wish to stress any fear toward you, because, as I say, so long as you bring about an invocation of protection, then whatever fears that you have that have been placed upon you by others, those fears you need to eradicate from your mind. Perhaps it would be a good field exercise for you to actually be able to do a symptom of change, of washing and clearing away those fears that you have, that other people have placed within you, because they are their own fears, they are not yours.
Thank you. So I felt that right away. I feel that in my heart, that nothing can really harm me in that way, because I feel good inside, spiritually sound. My brother wants to ask a question. We got so many of my brothers going, Doug, let me ask a question. I've got a ton of them. Okay. You're from the White Sky Cloud Group, correct? White Cloud Group. Now, I've heard people talk about that name. I don't know why it rings a bell with me, but I hear over and over either White Cloud or White Sky Cloud, and I've heard that people use the
White Brotherhood.
Or White Brotherhood. And can you explain a little bit about that? And
I will, absolutely.
Thank you.
White Cloud was a Cherokee. He was also actually a mix, in fact, between Cherokee, Chippewa, and I believe there was something else in there mixed up with it, too. He was a native of North American tribes. He was an ancient one at the point of when he had a physical life, which was many, many hundreds of years ago.
By ancient one, you mean, I've heard that term used before, he was a very wise soul,
yes,
even at the point he was first put here, I guess.
Yes,
is what you're saying.
Absolutely so, my friend.
Okay.
He was basically what he did when he came to the earth plane to have his experience. He had brought with him all of the experiences that he had in the ether world, all of the meetings that he had with all of the other beings that he met with. Just the same, my friend, as you have had many meetings with many thousands of individuals in the spirit world. You won't necessarily remember them.
I wish I could. I do.
Well,
I do.
Yes, but it matters not, friend. Unless, of course, at some point you may remember an aspect of it, because it is actually a gift that they have given you because of your attentiveness at your lessening in the spirit world. And that is really how people adopt gifts, even when they are child prodigies or that kind of thing, you see. They are actually, they are not reincarnations of someone else, God forbid. They are actually, it is because of the fact that they have listened intently, they have been tutored in the spirit world by those who have already had a physical life and who have gained this expertise in their physical life. And so they have brought about this great welling of love at the time of the exchange, you see?
Yes,
and so it has been something which has been indelibly impressed upon them. Now, White Cloud then met many thousands of individuals and became a most discerning spirit before he even had a physical experience. Now, I must just point out very quickly, before I carry on with White Cloud, that, in fact, it does not matter. You do not necessarily have to have a physical experience in order to be ascended or in order to be understanding, full of wisdom, full of empathy and courage and emotion and warmth toward other beings. You do not have to have a physical life at all. It is your choice whether you wish to do that. Now, for White Cloud, he decided that it was time to have a physical life, to be present, to try to help those of his tribal members. And that is exactly what he did. He came to the earth. He was a humanist. He was a healer, a great tribal influence. He was a herbalist. He came from the wealth of wisdom and illumination from the spirit world. He actually used to talk and communicate with many different forms of species, animals, birds, flies, mosquitoes even, and fish, all kinds of things.
Wow.
That he was able to communicate with. As a result of his physical life, and he lived a very long time, he actually, at the point of his passing, became not an ascended master, but became more and more enlightened and more full of wisdom, as sometimes happens to beings of a physical state, when they have had a physical life, or when they have had any kind of life. And what happened to White Cloud was that he became a shining one. This is not an angel. A shining one is a being who creates worlds. Quite simply, creates worlds in the physical state or in a spiritual sense. Creates worlds as in the form of a soul group, which is to do with the species hierarchy, not necessarily of one planet. It could be many planets, many different star systems, many universes, which are all linked to the actual physical properties and the spiritual properties of the multidimensional dynamic, which is what the whole entry of the universe is. And that is, I suppose, explaining in how White Cloud actually formed white cloud group is because he could see there became a great problem which existed shortly after I passed, in fact, in 1723. And what happened was he could see that humanity was actually moving along a diametric course to disaster. And it was that he brought together many different individuals of different scientific basis and structure who were not afraid to walk their way through and beyond the limitations that religious exclusion placed upon one another's ability to be open or to be loving toward all things. In this way, my friend, it has been that White Cloud has been fundamentally instrumental in the build-up of the White Cloud group, which is actually nothing whatsoever to do with the White Brotherhood or anyone else, because this is completely to do not with religion, but to do with factual analysis of the structure of the universe.
Wow. I mean, what an awesome responsibility, and what a joy to be in a position like that and to have affected, made so much positive change.
And it is positive change, my friend,
yeah,
that we are trying to bring about. We are trying to bring people to the education of understanding, to open the minds, not close them through religious dogma.
Right. Well, there are people right now that meditate so much. Some people meditate maybe for 4 hours, 5 hours. Some people that say they meditate constantly, this is what they have to say. Doc, why would you want to change the world? It's already perfect. Everything is as it should be.
It is not, however. Everything is not as it should be, because there are still landslides of negativity. There are still those who will refuse to listen, to refuse to open their eyes. If you are living in a dark place, why would you not wish to shed light upon it?
I totally agree with you, and it's kind of hard for me to believe that if you're here on this earth and you have a lot of love in your heart and you find joy. I guess I overcame it because the thought of that nobody really needs help anyways is just by saying, well, if nobody really needs help, I find it enjoyable to believe that I can be of help. So in that way, at least I am gaining something from that experience, whether the world needs, my words or not.
Yes, my friend. I feel that the point really is that if you take a Buddhist stance upon the world, then you would actually sit and do nothing.
Yes.
You would expect everyone else to feed you.
I truly agree with that. It's hard for me to, discuss with people that supposedly have a frequency of 600 or 700 or 800. I guess you know all about the frequency numbers. And when they get that high, they just meditate. They go up on top of the mountain and they do their own thing, and they justify that by thinking the world is...
Well, there's a guy, there's an individual. Do you know about this individual, or can you... Now, here's a question that I wouldn't have asked you, but this is an opportunity. There's an individual that's in one of the third world countries.
Yes, friend.
And he is meditating next to a tree.
Yes.
And he's
under a tree, Ben.
Right.
Yes.
For months, and then I guess he got bit, and he talked to the crowd a little bit. And,
yes.
And now he's sitting down meditating with no food, I guess, no water.
Yes.
And he's been doing it for quite some time. I guess he says he has to meditate for the next several years, almost around 2012 or 2013. It was pretty close to that date. It was... Because when he named out how many more years he had to be in deep meditation, but he's defying the laws of everything we know in front of our very eyes. He's really showing
us
that
real? Is it true?
He's showing us that he's doing what Christ said each and every one of us could do if we chose to. He's doing right in front of our eyes, and I think I saw it one. little internet newspaper, or maybe a newspaper somewhere, and I haven't heard much about it. But is this true, number one? And number two, can you communicate with that individual? What's he doing right now?
Well, my dear friend, at first of all, I have to say that we welcome whatever advances any individual makes in their lives. It does not have to be a young boy in a loincloth sitting under a tree. It can be anyone who brings progress to their personality in whatever way or form that takes. If it is for a hunter to cease killing for the sake of their own amusement, that is progress for that individual. If it is for someone else to sit under a tree, silently meditating and bringing no food to the lips, then that is a signal for that individual to attain something else that they seek. It is not necessarily that all those kinds of situations that people tend to structure around themselves in order to try to achieve means that by achieving it, they will be necessarily better people. Unfortunately, many others will heap upon them great distinction by the simplest acts that they may follow. The point is that all beings may be just as attentive, just as gracious in their living, in accepting with great gratitude whatever it is that their place is upon the planet. However, what our identity really is that we try to encourage people to actually physically do something.
I understand.
Which will bring about the power of positivity. This individual is doing just that, but in a silent way. And what is he doing now? He is still sitting, still meditating. And it is exactly the same, my friend, and I do not bring a slant upon this to mean any disrespect whatsoever. However, there are those situations in that same country where people have been buried for 9 days or 10 days or 21 days and then arise from it, from their burial, from their burial chamber, they arise from it as being proclaiming themselves as a guru or whatever that means to them and to their followers. And that is the situation of change which that environment and that all cultural organization expects to create within its own family, within its own genetic. It is a part of the spiritual identity of that culture.
That makes a lot of sense. This is something, as I've been, people tell me, that when you meditate, each and every one of us has a God spirit, okay, where we have that indestructible, perfect spirit inside of ourselves that continues to evolve. But it's hard for me to believe, the question of mathematics, the idea that there can be only one, not two, but everything comes back to one and we're all integrated and we are as one.
Yes.
It's hard for me to sit back and say to myself, Doug, you're God. Imagine that. That's the boundary. I mean, if there's a boundary in front of me, it's hard for me to say I'm that powerful. I am.
I understand.
How do you overcome that limitation in thought? And
yes, because you feel that by having that thought, it is expounding ego.
Yes.
Do you not?
Yes, exactly.
I have great sympathy for you, my friend. I really do.
Oh, no.
The point is that what you have to understand is that, for example, if you even look at a leaf of a tree, you look upon it of actually just looking at it, not necessarily picking it, but by observing it, you can see it is full of life. If you look at it in a certain way, you would even identify its aura and the very energy that it is bringing off from itself, and it, in fact, can feel your presence. What, in fact, you are observing is the face of God in that one small thing, in a caterpillar that climbs upon your finger, when it is searching in the air for a place to put its front end. When you are looking upon it, you are not just looking at a bug that you could squash in a microsecond. You are looking at an aspect of God. Exactly what your interpretation of what God may be is not to do with Brahmin theory, is not to do with your intention to seek the highest plane and platform through your meditation. It is to simply look and observe at everything upon your planet, everything you come to view and understand that comes to your life now is a part of what God is. And that is why you are a part of that same individual structure. You are a part, an infinite part of what God is. Your present form is of a physical dimension, active. You are actually bringing about not repetition by your being, but you are bringing about creation by your being, and that is also defining and accentuating what God is, because God is all things that create. Yes, and I suppose all things that destroy too. All things that grow and all things that burn. Are these surely only just other energies, other interactions of physical state that bring about change, direction, motivation? They also bring about sheer forces. They bring about the whole explosion of what you are now in this cycle of cellular structure. And what you will be in the spirit world is all of that cellular structure, and including that is your consciousness. And that, too, is a part of what God is.
Are you, thank you. So, now, since everything's interconnected, obviously, you can connect, if you choose to, with just about any spirit or any entity.
I wish I could,
or
my friend.
Oh, you can't?
Well, I am saying I am not perfect. I am not
right. All
that God is.
Right.
I cannot profess to be.
Can you communicate with, like, would you, is Sananda, that's the real name, I guess they tell me, for Christ, for Jesus, Emmanuel?
Well, the problem is, my friend, is that many people claim to be able to communicate with Jesus.
Yes, that's true.
Or Buddha.
Correct.
And in fact, all they are doing is inflating their ego and missing the opportunity of becoming enlightened by proclaiming it. It is exactly the same as anyone who proclaims they are ascended or that they are communicating with ascended masters. What rubbish.
I think I like you, Gregory.
My dear friend, I am just trying to be factual about the process.
Yes.
And it is really, my friend, that people are not really seeing or understanding what true enlightenment is.
Yes.
Enlightenment is being in the state of being.
It's almost like, you know, I don't know if I imagined this the other day, but I wanted to communicate with, you know, a higher spiritually evolved entity in myself, and I imagined the white light around me, and I kept saying, well, tell me what I need to know. What's the one thing, if you were to give me one thing I need to know that's going to help me out, and I heard this fairly loud and clear, like, again, I don't know if it's me, my imagination, or something. I said, you have to learn to let go.
So, exactly.
And I never, and it was put in such a way that I caught a few levels of what they were trying to say. I don't know how deep it went on me, but I kept getting more and more of it. So finally I figured it out. I just can't let go.
Yes, exactly. And that is, my friend, usually what holds people back.
Yes.
And people erect their own barriers, their own forces of life, of what they create, their fears, or whatever it is, what fears that have been put upon them by others.
Yeah,
yes?
Exactly. They create their own walls that they bang their heads on.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there's a question. Let's say that, and you have a unique situation because, of course, Mick Avery, you use his body and you communicate through him, but I have a situation here that's, I don't know whether this occurs, can occur, or is occurring, but let's say I have a guide. I think we all have a spiritual guide, one person that follows us.
You do. Every single being has a doorkeeper. That is what we call them.
Gotcha. Well, this doorkeeper, sometimes, I guess, or maybe one or two of your guides, maybe one of them will incarnate here on Earth and not only have been your guide while you were alive, but maybe decided to incarnate here. Does that ever happen, or...?
It is unlikely. The point is, my friend, is that actually, usually, the being who is walking with you has actually had an Earth life, or had a physical life somewhere.
Gotcha. Well,
not necessarily human, you understand.
Yes.
It may be that they are a horse. It may be that they are a dog.
You mean a spirit guide?
Absolutely so. I'm just saying that because people associate with human beings, it doesn't mean to say that that is all that there is ever going to be.
Right.
I'm saying that it may be, because you must understand, this is such a vast subject, friend, that what I'm trying to say to you is that, you see, when you were in the spirit world, you actually communicated with many other species.
Right.
Many other species were able to communicate with you because language was not a barrier, because thought is the process of living things.
Right.
You understand?
Yeah.
And being as you are a spirit, you are a living thing. You always have existed. You always have existed because you are a part of what God is.
Well,
therefore, you are an infinite being. You did not die. You never had many thousands of lives because you only have one life, and that is continuous.
When we move through this life, my question is,
thank you.
When
thank
I move
you.
Into the next chapter or cycle,
yes.
Can I actually, at the other end, say, I want to now remember all parts of myself in such a way as to gain greater clarification on the other end? Let's say I pass this earthly life and move to that.
Yes.
And I have a choice whether to reincarnate. Do I have a choice whether to or not?
Well, the point is, my friend, that I have to say that it will really depend upon what exactly happens to you at the point of your passing. What happens to you in your life and what you create in your life, you see. For many people, they actually create obstacles. They create obstructions in their life because they are not clear thinking or because they think of negativity. They grapple with negativity and throw it toward others. Yes?
Yes.
And in doing that, they are actually stinting their growth. They are becoming of a lesser vibration, in which case, when that person arrives in the spirit world, they actually are not going to be able to have the access to all areas because they have been denied it through their promiscuity or through their vulgar acts or whatever that is. You see?
Understood.
I do. I sure hope when I'm on the other end. I didn't give my...
So, I am not saying that you have been naughty or anything like that. I'm just saying that it will actually all depend upon what happens and how, after your passing, you are able to come to terms with all of those situations you have brought about. Now, for many people, and I'm just really talking here, speaking about people who have just had a normal life, just getting up and going to work, doing the things that they do, standing on some people perhaps to get into a better position in their life. They have created different rays of disaster in their wake, perhaps. Or if they are careful, they have not, you see. And so I am talking not specifically aimed at you, my friend. I am talking more generically about what will happen to all of those many millions of people who will eventually listen to this intercourse of conversation, you see.
And so I guess in the side of me, Gregory, I actually do feel like I've reached a threshold of change, and it's going to change now from here on forward. But my brother wants to ask a question, so here he is.
Here we go. Okay.
Now, let's see. There's so many questions.
Oh, we're going to need. Oh my goodness, I got like 20 questions left.
My dear friend, do not rush through it. As we had said before, when we first thought of it, that it would in fact be probably quite a large number of interviews in this way.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, now, here's a question, and this is a little about human history.
Yes.
We, you know, a lot of people say, you know, that we came from Mars previous to Earth.
Yes.
And some people say that we were on a planet called Tiamat, which used to be Earth, that later became Earth, moved its orbit. Or there was an asteroid that was bombarded in the asteroid belt and fractured up, and then things moved about, and we went maybe from there to Mars, to Earth, whatever the case is. I think you might know a better a synopsis on that, on most of the people here that are on this planet. And then the next question would be, what percentage would be the largest, I mean, of humans on this planet? Where would they have come from? Would they be either Pleiadian, Andromedan, or would they be most people that crossed over from the Mars fiasco, or... You see what I'm getting at?
Yes. Quite. Well, the point is, friend, is that, in fact, humanity is part of one of five species. This is the five species which actually began evolution upon the Earth, that came from other primates, that was the institution of other primates. One of the species that was a part of this tree of life, if you like, for human identity, was to do with Sasquatch. And they have actually continued very much in a similar vein to how they had branched at the very beginning. And they have changed very little, except that they have become far more adept at changing their molecular structure and at being able to actually use the thought process beyond the capability of human beings. So they are able to change their identity, or rather remove their identity completely from human sight, which is why people cannot catch one.
Amazing. Amazing.
Now, the point is that actually the reason, in fact, as well, why they are never found, why there is never a carcass found of a Sasquatch, is because they bury each other. They bury each other upside down. They dig a hole, and they put them in head first. And, in fact, what happens is that they are then actually degraded very quickly, because, in fact, most Sasquatch are living in a place where they are basically, they are places that have never been really, how can I say this, they've never really been explored in the fullest extent. Yes, of course, there are forests that have been cut down periodically or whatever, but those people are not really looking for kind of evident.
Right.
And in fact, what actually happens is that because of the fact that Sasquatch are able to view and sense one another at 1,000 miles, it merely means that when one of them becomes ill and passes, that they come together and they bury it.
So there's not many of them. Would you say there are like 100 of them or 1,000 of them?
Well, they actually live about 100 miles apart from one another. They very rarely communicate in the physical way because they don't need to. They are able to communicate through thought. Now, very well, so that is just one of the five of the branch of human identity. Now, there are also the thoughts that you must bring to yourself that 30,000 years for human identity is a ridiculously short time for a being so complicated to actually evolve. So, what I'm saying is that human beings actually began 5 million years ago on your side of life.
Wow.
And there will be evidence of this from time to time that will actually appear, particularly in Africa, I do believe.
Wow.
The point is that what I have to say is that there are different situations which came upon the evolutionary process of human beings, that there was one branch which became Neolithic humanoids, which were the cave dwellers that you all know and love, and that who actually scribed the paintings upon the walls that you also clearly identify. There were other beings who actually came from other worlds at this point, and actually at a time way before that. At, in fact, 60,000 years, there was an influx of beings from another constellation altogether. And this was, in fact, a very short period. What happened was the process became quite illuminatory because these beings wished to bring, they were curious, I suppose, about human evolution and the process of where that would go. They could see that they weren't doing very well, so they decided to help them by interjecting certain benefits of their own genetic system, which is actually how Magnox humanoids became in existence. Now, this was at 60,000 years ago, or more than that, in fact. The first influx was, in fact, at 100,000 years ago. At 60,000 years, there was a further intrusion. It means that at that time, you understand that the whole evolutionary process, the way that the climate was appearing at that time, made it very, very hostile for human beings. And the ensuing evolution meant that they had to actually migrate quite extensively. So they bred very quickly, this particular group of Cro-Magnox, and actually moved to quite different climes on your side of life, which is, of course, why you have Aborigines in both Australia and also the same group in the southern part of South America.
Is this like that you have an Oriental group, there are blacks, there are, I call them any color, all the different colors of the spectrum, but are those specific races of people, integration of other stellar beings, uniquely different due to our race?
Yes, quite so. Really, basically, I suppose what I'm trying to say is that people who were of Aboriginal nature are ostensibly from the Earth. You understand?
Yes.
That is not to say that white Europeans are not from the earth. It is to say that the evolutionary branch changed quite dramatically at the point of 30,000 years. After all, there was also a great climatic shift at this time where the tectonic plates actually moved excessively through that period. And it caused great fundamental changes in the genetic ecosystem of human beings, and also this related to many other animal life forms.
They say our Earth is one of the richest in emotional, I guess the human race as a species has a great emotional capacity, and some people have told me that's highly sought, and actually, you know, but outside groups look at this because we have such a great amount of different variations of fauna, of people,
yes,
of emotion, and unique, not just to us, but there isn't that many places, I guess, supposedly in the entire solar system or universe, or that this, like the Earth, a structure such as the Earth could develop. Is that true?
Well, I have to say that there are many other different planets where the structure of civilization exists. It is just to say, of course, that there are few places as unique as the Earth, because it offers such a vast array, such a disparate change in different species and how species has actually evolved, which is really, I suppose, what one of our main interests is surrounding, is the process of evolution and how species moves between one cyclic form to another, to another, to another. How mutation actually changes beings, and through environmental pressure and through climatic pressure, through the pressure that the species puts upon itself by its own behavior, such as the things that human beings are going through now. Now, if you take, for example, the species of whale, they are actually identified as a far superior species to human beings in the genetic species platform. They, in their lifetime, do not think of the dull things that human beings think of, or try to bring about desperate acts of vandalism upon one another like human beings do. They do not have that aggravating tendency of violence, of trying to better oneself against your neighbors. A whale actually only sings about two things. It sings of its life and its unity with God and the universe. It sings in terms of color, light, refraction. The arias that come from a whale are to do with the songs of the ancestry of Earth, which is why if the Earth denies the whale a home to live, the Earth will pass as well.
That's a lot like that Star Trek movie. Yes, you see a lot of movies out there that reflect some of the understandings that you're sharing. Thank you.
Well, I must say, this being able to communicate like this is such a pleasure. Like, I have so many questions. I'm just hoping, so many of them have a lot to do with questions not only I have, but questions that I've asked people to give me.
Yes.
I mean, I'll just run by a bunch of them, but what would be, like, how were the Ten Commandments originally created? What purpose, truth, were the guidelines or rules? Can we communicate with children telepathically, and to what extent?
My dear friend, to begin with, Yes, I can see that there are an unsurmountable amount of questions in your mind, and I dare say that at the end of this conversation, you will think of 1,000 more.
Oh, yeah.
I think we need another show.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, because remember, like, it's a unique, again, Gregory, I can't understate this or overstate this enough. It's a very unique experience where I'm coming from to be able to consciously, while I'm awake right here, know it, know I'm doing it, and be communicating with an entity on the other side. Now, I mean, that may seem commonplace, and but it, to me, it's beyond remarkable because it just shows such a unity between what we believe what we see and what we don't see, and all everything in between.
Yes, absolutely. And what we are trying to do as well, at the same time we are doing this, we are also, in the coming time, we are going to try to bring different pressures upon your home environment to actually form situations in your where you are so that you will be able to see things.
If that made my heart sing. You know, I'll tell you, thank you.
Okay, well, we're going to do this really soon, okay? We'll do it again.
Oh, anytime.
Yeah.
If there's anything we can do, Gregory, this...
my dear friend, you are doing it.
Well, if
this is the point, that why we had to have this meeting, my friend, is because you are doing it. You are humanitarians. But more than that, you are earth fractologists. You are there signifying the way the earth should be and the way humanity should stand up for the power and the speech of intention, the way activity allows minds to grow and form into beautiful things. That you are.
You know, I you're a beautiful thing. It's
we should tell them the good news we got today, don't
well,
we?
Well, anyways, we had some...
Let's firm that up.
Yes,
let's firm that up before we say it on the air.
Okay.
But it's really, really remarkable. We had something occur today that might be something eventually leading to... You know, a lot more ears, a lot more eyeballs to the website, a lot more ears to the radio show, and if it works, it's quite big. I don't know if you can read the future, but it's something that it's. Well, we're hoping that we can reach more listeners and do more good, and that's why I always ask if there's anything that I can do to help this along. Please have Spirit guide my brother and I in this whole operation and run with it and keep us out of the way. I sincerely mean that.
My dear friend, may I just say that the only thing that you both need to do is meditate 20 minutes in any one day.
Okay.
And mornings are best, friend.
That I will do.
First thing in the morning is the best time for you to meditate. All you need to do is close your eyes and allow your whole self to be at one with your spirit. And then you will be blessed, friend.
Oh, thank you. I will do that. Usually I do my meditating at night, but I think mornings would be just as enjoyable because lately I have not meditated as much as I should be.
And do not forget to drink plenty of water. You should drink at least 6 glasses in any one day.
Is coffee considered water?
It is not.
Okay.
I am saying pure water, my friend.
My joy.
God loves a trier, I believe, is the expression.
That's right, yes.
Yes.
I love my coffee. Well.
Okay.
Very well.
Thank you
so much.
Wonderful,
Gregory.
Wonderful, and God bless the... Well, God bless you and the White Cloud Group and everything you stand for and everything you're doing.
We look forward to our conversation next time, any chance we can get.
And
okay.
I look forward to helping you spread your message and just being a part of it. I just love being a part of it.
Oh, that's lovely. Thanks ever so much for being with us.
Thank you.
It's been a delight.
The joy is ours, my friend. I will leave now.
Okay,
thank
then,
you.
Gregory.
Good day. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Well, I'd like to thank everybody else for listening, and we hope you've enjoyed the show. I'd like to mention our website again, and that's www.spirit-teaching.com. Our books are available on it, or they are from bookstores and on Amazon.com. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. So until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.